Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Beginning in chapter 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he approached a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is a joy to be with you again. It has been May since I have been offering pulpit supply, but I can assure you I have been here virtually every week seeing clients in your library. I very much enjoy the opportunity, and I'm incredibly grateful. It is a wonderful space. I love books anyway, and to be able to share books and people at the same time is a very, very wonderful thing. So thank you for the opportunity to offer counseling in your library. It's been a joy to see people as they wait for their session, have the opportunity to either visit here in your sanctuary, enjoy at times organ or piano music, or sometimes they're seated on the bench out front. So from me to you, I want to thank you for the hospitality. I know that you're missing your pastor. I've been missing him too. He's a friend. I know he's family to people here as well, and they're missing him certainly probably more than any of us. And I want you to know, and you're welcome to quote me, there have been times that have been a special joy to hear from Wade on what it is to pastor you. He has stepped into the library / office space that I have here and said, "You know, of all the things that I've had the opportunity to do, to be here and to be a pastor to these people brings me unbelievable joy." And I've said, "Wade, do you think this is what you're going to do? You think this is where you're going to be? Because for me in my house, I think chaplaincy looks pretty good." Some of you know that I've been training as a VA chaplain, and I'm in my third unit of clinical pastoral education there, and I very much love what I do. And he said, "No, you know what? I stepped into chaplaincy to see what that might be like." And he said, "Pastoring, and particularly pastoring here, means the world to me." So he isn't here. You know that. He is about God's work in another part of the world. But he has a deep, deep heart for you, and I wanted to echo that this morning. It is a joy to be with you. I come most recently from the pulpit in First Presbyterian in El Dorado. I've been in Metropolis, Harrisburg, and Mount Vernon as well. So pulpit supply throughout Southern Illinois in Presbyterian churches is my new favorite thing. But I get to be back with you. This morning we're talking about gratitude. And specifically we're talking about gratitude as echoed from the scripture in Luke. There was this Samaritan, one of the ones who was healed. I think one of the things that's striking to me is Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they did head in that direction, and one turned back as he recognized that he had been healed to offer thanks. So one of the commentaries says, you know, one of the Bible scholars says, "Well, wait a second, Jesus already said, go show yourselves to the priests. Why does he have a question about why only one came back?" Right? So which do you do? Do you follow what Jesus said, or do you come back and say thank you? I wanted you to know, if you haven't heard, that this passage in Luke is an echo from 2 Kings. You may be familiar with the name Naaman, who was a general in 2 Kings. I wanted to give you a bit of this passage, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. And I'm going to fast forward through that just a little bit. So we have Naaman, the commander of the army, who had brought great victory, who was suffering from leprosy. His wife was being served, though, by a woman from the land of Israel who had been captured on one of the raids. And she spoke to her mistress and said, "Mistress, if only the master would go and seek the prophet." And the prophet that they're referring to is Elisha. "If he would only go and seek the prophet Elisha in my lands, I believe he'd be healed." I'm fast-forwarding through this. I'll let you read it as your at your own leisure. Naaman did go to the land of Judah. He did seek out Elisha, and Elijah told him to wash in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman said, "Well, you know, really, we have fantastic water. We have great rivers back in my land. Why would I come all this way to wash in the Jordan? Do you have not anything else to offer me?" And he went away angry. And his servants came back and said, "You know, if you really want to be healed, and if it's really going to be that easy, would you not go ahead and participate in that and just find out whether or not it's going to be helpful to you?" And if you're familiar with the story, you know that Naaman did, in fact, wash in the river Jordan, and he was healed of leprosy. He wasn't a man of that land. He was also a foreigner. And he came to Elisha in gratitude. The story that I read you in Luke is an echo from 2 Kings. I may have challenged you back in May. It's easy for us as people of faith, professing Christian faith, to stand pretty solidly in the New Testament. If we don't have a sense of what happened in the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, we miss that echo back and forth between the two. So I wanted to bring you a little bit of 2 Kings. So we have Naaman, who was a stranger, a foreigner, who was healed. We have the leper, who was a Samaritan, who was healed, who was the one who came back in gratitude. And I would ask you this morning, and I would challenge you this morning, about whether or not gratitude makes a difference. Does it matter the lens that we choose to look through as we view and review our own lives? I can tell you the lens that I have with me this morning, thank you, Dollar General. If I didn't have it, I probably wouldn't be able to read half of what's in front of me, right? So this lens really does make a difference. I probably wouldn't be able to see the scripture without it. The lens through which we view life, I would suggest, makes a difference in how we understand the world, how we understand who God is. And I'll give you an example. I had the opportunity to move. Some of you know that I live in Goreville. I have lived in a 2-bedroom duplex, sharing a room with my 15-year-old daughter. It was the only place to rent in Goreville when I needed to move out of the house that I was living in. I looked for a year to find something, and that was the only thing available. So my son had his own bedroom. My daughter and I shared a room. And Claire said, as I apologized profusely for having to invade her space, "Mom, you're just getting me ready for when I'm in college and I have a roommate," right? For 2 years. And the people who were moving us out, one of the guys said, "I don't know how in the world," he looked at our room, he said, "I don't know how in the world you did this." And I said, "Well, we did what we had to do," right? She had her space, I had mine. I tried to be the best roommate that I can. I'm more of a slob than she is. And so there are times she would look over at my side of the room and say, "Mom," I'm like, "I know, I'm sorry. Remember, I'm getting you ready for college." Someone knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and she said, "I wanted to let you know that I found a 3-bedroom house in Goreville. It's going to allow the kids to stay in town, and it's $75 less than where you're living right now. What do you think?" And I can tell you what I thought, and this happened about a month ago. I thought, "I don't want to move. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. There are things in my garage that are remnants from divorce that I don't want to look at. There are things in there that I just don't want to face. I don't want to move." I didn't say that to her. Instead, what I said was, I would be glad to go take a look at this with you. Thank you so much for thinking of us. And so I hopped into her vehicle. We drove over to this property. Beautiful little house. Beautiful. I really couldn't have asked for a prettier place. Walked in, carpet everywhere. Old carpet everywhere. Patches of carpet everywhere. And I thought, aha, can't live here because there's carpet and I have allergies. And my son has allergies. This isn't going to work. Yes. I don't have to move. And we had a conversation. Lovely people were wanting to rent this space. And we came away and they said, you know, we'd really like to have you. We think you'd be fantastic. I brought the kids over later that afternoon, introduced them to the people. We really think your kids are great, which is always good to hear. We had some conversations and I said, I'm sorry. This is beautiful, but the carpeting's not going to work. We have a lot of allergies in our family, and I know that you're not going to have a problem renting this space. This is beautiful space. They came back and said, well, you know, we'd like to put down laminate. What do you think about laminate? Really like laminate. That would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it? And not only that, would you like the dark laminate? Would you like the light laminate? Brought samples and everything, you know, making a choice. And I'm thinking, okay. And then they came back and said, well, you know, if we settle on this, what do you think? Well, I think that's real interesting. I can tell you, though, I wasn't expecting to move. I live on a very tight budget. And to be able to pay my rent where I am currently, which is just about not possible for me, and to come up with first and last month's rent, I can't do it. I don't have that to be able to do. And I said in a text, I've got it documented. I am so grateful for everything that you've offered to me, but I can tell you I simply can't afford it. Thank you so much. The kids were in a band competition in El Dorado, and we were driving back from El Dorado, and since I have two that are getting ready to drive, I try to be super careful about what I'm doing with my phone at the same time that I'm driving. So I have someone who's a designated texter, who as ever is in the passenger seat, they're my designated texter. So they had my phone, and this text came back, and it was, hey, Lauren, we really think that you are the person we want in our house. We think your kids are fantastic. We've got the laminate worked out. What if we just don't require a deposit? There's no washer or dryer where I lived previously. I had stainless steel. I will never in my life have the appliances. And men, you might care. Women, I'm sure you do. I will never have the appliances that I had. I had stainless steel everything. I'll never be able to afford it. I was renting in a place where stainless steel everything, beautiful hardwood, all kinds of things. You know, that's great. I can't afford a washer and a dryer, but except my parents have a washer and dryer in their barn, and they're not using that. So all of a sudden, in 3 weeks, there's a three-bedroom house that gives my family more room, and I've come up with every reason in the world why this isn't going to work, and every reason that I've put forward is getting shot down. And I'm this person of faith. I'm this person who my children survived my seminary years. And I'm like, all right, God, I don't have the energy for this. There are boxes in my garage I don't want to look at for some really good reasons. I have spent the past week and some going over and over, why is this happening to me? I got ready this morning after looking through a number of trash bags and at least two really large boxes because my hair was wet and I realized I didn't know where my blow dryer was. It's that kind of chaos right now. And I knew I didn't have the energy for it. And then I found the other pair of glasses. And then I found the other pair of glasses. It's the pair of glasses that I'm offering to you this morning. And those are the glasses that when you look through them, when I look through them, I say, wow, God is busy. When I handed over the keys to my duplex, my landlord said, may I pray over you? and he prayed over me when he gave me the keys 2 years ago. And he said, in this place, I'm blessing you coming in, I'm blessing you going out. May I pray over you? And as the guys were coming in to pick up the boxes, he lifted a hand over my forehead. Grace of God be with you as you journey. Bless you and bless your path. Empty to place. In 3.5 hours, guys pulling up with a covered trailer because it had been raining, guys pulling up with pickup trucks with friends, saying, is there anything else we can do? People that I didn't realize cared that much for me showing up. So I put on the glasses that say, I'm in this beautiful home with people who have given every opportunity for me to be there. My daughter has her own room. And bless her heart, it's clean. Of all of us, everything's put away. I'm healthy. Do I ache? Yes. I'll be 48 in February. Was it tough down there on the ground with the kids and then getting back up? Yeah, I don't know if you heard everything popping, but yeah. I took my ibuprofen this morning. But I'm healthy. I have 2 kids this morning who are with their dad enjoying a camp out with their cousins. They're healthy too. Did I have to look for clothes in a trash bag this morning? Yep. But do I have them? I do. I'm working 3 jobs, and that's how everything fits together. And that also means there are times that the answer to can we have that or can we do that is no. But I have 3 jobs. There are times and places I have looked at my world, I have looked at my situation, and I've heard from others, I don't know how to do this. This is too hard. Why am I in this place? And when I pick up a different pair of glasses and I view my life, I view the pain, but I view the joy. And I say, could I, if I was in the same situation, would I have come back and said thank you? Because it's taken me about 5 weeks now for all the blessings that have been mine to find the lens to view my life to say, I could not be more grateful. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done and continue to do. Even when I can't see it, even when I don't understand it, even when it scares me to death. Thank you, God. I can't possibly be the only person who struggles with which set of glasses, which set of lens to view their life. Every one of us in this room has lived long enough to experience pain of some type. Emotional, physical, spiritual, and God help us, sometimes all at the same time. But everyone here knows what pain is. And some of it's continuing. Some of it is a burden that continues. I would ask you to consider the places of joy, the places where someone has touched your life, and maybe we haven't turned back to say thank you. It is an absolute joy, and always has been, a pleasure to be with you. Amen.